Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Amen. Text for consideration before us today is in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. You hear a few of those words from verse 20 through 22. So the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very flagrant, I will go down now and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has come to me. If not, I will know. And the two men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. God's word is truth. Amen. On August 24th of the year 79, not 1979, but 79, Mount Vesuvius blew its top. And the eruption moved 1.5 million tons of lava per second, and it was reported that the eruption lasted over 24 hours. And Pompeii, a city of 15,000 people, was wiped out, and the debris covered the city with 14 to 17 feet of ash. That was nothing compared to what the Almighty Lord did to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was total annihilation as recorded for us in the book of Genesis 19. And now you know how the story ends, but what about this prayer of Abraham in the text today? Well, you have to know some of the backstory. The Lord and two angels meet with Abraham and have a huge feast. And the Lord tells Abraham that he and Sarah, who are well along in age, they're going to have a son. And from this son comes the Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the Lord and the two angels start heading towards Sodom. And Abraham is probably wondering, I wonder why they're headed that way. What's towards Sodom? And the Lord asks the two angels with him, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And I don't know if Abraham heard that too. Like, what's going on? It's a story, but he decides to tell him. And the Lord has heard the prayers of many people, cries of hurt, cries for justice, cries for destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin is great, and in his justice, he must do something. And the Lord decides to go and see it in person because the Lord is involved in this world. And he's involved in your life too. And he knows all. He sees all. He knows your thoughts and senses your feelings. And the two angels head for Sodom. But Abraham stands before the Lord. Well, Lord, let's talk about this. And his nephew Lot and his family are there, and Abraham is worried that he will be wiped away. And so he appeals to the Almighty Lord in prayer. And God provides you with opportunities for prayer. We live in a fallen world. We live with sinners and our sinners ourselves. And the hardship of this world is before you. And we all need the help of the Lord in our lives. And if you've noticed, when is your prayer life at its best? Is it when everything is going great? Or is it when the kids get on your nerves? God, help me through this. When the crops fail. God, help me through this. When the hospital stays longer than you thought, the bills are coming due. God, help me through this. When your marriage is on the rocks, God, help us get through this together. When your friend's marriage is on the rocks, God, help them and help me help them. When your child is in the hospital fighting cancer, that leads you to bend your knee in prayer. When you feel the hurt of family and friends who are bitten by the disaster this world brings, you pray and you pray and you pray. And that is when you spend days on end in prayer. We need the help of the Almighty. And hear the Lord speak in Isaiah 43. Such strong words when you listen to him. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Would totally love to skip feeling like we are drowning in the moment. Right? Passing through the waters? Are you passing through the river of hard times? I'd like to skip that too. Are you feeling the flames of someone else's wrath? Well, hate that. God doesn't say that he'll save us from them, but that he will be with us as we go through them. That's how this thing called the life of faith works. God walks with you. And think of it this way. The words, God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. That won't make sense if the worst thing in your life is bad internet connection. God works through the hardships and through the tragedies to strengthen your faith, your connection to him, your prayer life. He is your refuge and strength, not this world. Abraham appeals, not by his merit or his friendship with the Lord, but he appeals to the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord is teaching us on prayer today, isn't he? I mean, that's what this section is about right here. How many of you have had a prayer like this? God, you gave me those kids. Now you owe it to me to make it through to, you know, make a case of applesauce fall from the sky and into my pantry so that they stop the constant demanding of what I do not have. God, you gave me my spouse. Now you owe it to me to give me a 1969 Camaro because you know I need a breather. Right? When you feel entitled in prayer, at times what you ask for, it doesn't even make sense. You know, like, God, you gave me these kids and I raised them willingly, but now, right, make the grandchildren be lovely. God, you put me in this school, but now you better give me the brains to ace it. I mean, this is entitlement, isn't it? We might feel entitled before God, having a heart that says, he better listen to my demands because he owes me. That is not a prayer from faith. God doesn't owe us anything, but if that is our thought, Lord, that you are indebted to us, forgive us for such ignorance and a misunderstanding of who we are. Help us to see that we are nothing more than dust and ashes, as Abraham has said. And yet God in his goodness, it's God in his goodness, in his mercy, he creates life in us. He gives the forgiveness of sins for repentant once entitled snobs. You know, it's all through the sacrifice of his son who gave up heaven to be born into this world, to be mocked by this world, to suffer at the hands of wicked men, to suffer and die on a cross to become salvation for you and me. In Christ, we are forgiven and free. And the outcry of many for justice upon Sodom and Gomorrah on one side and the pleading of Abraham for mercy on the other, they are different prayers. Very much so. And the Lord listens. He hears. And prayer is a slender nerve that moves the hand of the omnipotent and almighty Lord. And it moved the Lord in a way that Abraham didn't even think possible. You might not see God's greater answer. God's no is better than our yes. And let the Lord find a way. Abraham pleads in his prayer 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, for the sake of 10 righteous people, people who believe in the Lord, people who have a living faith in the Lord, for them spare this city. And the Lord agrees, yes, sure. There were not even 10. In Genesis 19, it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord, that place of prayer. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. When God destroyed the cities, he remembered Abraham and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe. It appears from the text that Abraham never saw Lot again. There's no family reunion after this. Lot's wife turned back to Sodom, so God turned her into a pillar of salt. She wanted to go back to Sodom instead of where the Lord was taking her. She got too close and comfortable to sin like a moth to the flame, and she admired what the world was offering her. And not what the Savior was offering her. But Lot and his two daughters are saved. But with all of this, Abraham didn't turn away from the Lord. He let the Lord be Lord. Do that in prayer. Be good with God. As Jesus in his prayer says, your will be done, and let God's will be done. That might be one of the hardest things you struggle with. And I'm not immune to it either. Nobody is. You know people who've walked away from God because God didn't give them grandma back. God didn't save the house from fire. God didn't get you a date with the one that you pined for in high school. God didn't give you a Nintendo 64. Okay, you know, if you're still bitter about that, we need to pray for you. But the truth of the matter is, God's answer is good. And if we fail to see it, we fail. But God is good. The secret things belong to God. And he doesn't owe us a report. God asks for faith to trust in him, even when we struggle, especially when we struggle. And there will be times in your life when you are confronted with smoke on the horizon, like Abraham in the morning looking towards Sodom. Seeing ruin where you ask God for deliverance. Trust in God even when there is smoke on the horizon. Submit to the will of God even when there is smoke on the horizon. Know that God's got answers even when there is smoke on the horizon. Follow God even when there is smoke on the horizon. Amen.